Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome all of you to the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise. We'll do a quick introduction so that we know who all are here. My name is Peter Malbeck. I'm a member of the committee.
My name is Sam Mujibin, and I'm the principal of the committee.
My name is Sam, I'm a member of the committee.
Thanks. My name is Aubrey. No. Please wait. We are still here.
Sorry about that. It was not just finding my microphone button. Good morning. I'm Gloria Borman, a member of the committee.
Thanks, Chairman. My name is Aubrey Mukwena, a member of the committee, and by the same topic, the chairperson of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Chris Khorodo, a member of this committee.
If it was staff call that was in the presentation, he would have told you that it's from Bumala.
Good morning, Chair of the meeting. My name is Bruce Soto, I'm a member of the committee and a very good fan of leadership.
Good morning, I'm Loretta Lawrence, CA to the chairperson.
Good morning, my name is Rod Nimnese, an advisor to the committee.
Morning, my name is Peter Zalani, parliamentary executive from Public Enterprises.
Good morning, General Magilex, my name, Department of Public Enterprises, legal section.
The mic is not on. Here's the one next
here. Good morning. My name is Patel Mukombo from Department of Public Enterprises, Legal Services.
Good morning. My name is Leo Kale, DPE, Financial Analysis.
Good morning. My name is Weekend Bangane, Chief Director, responsible for the Netherlands.
Good morning. My name is Khatar Sekakudi. I'm the DDP Manufacturing Community.
Good morning, ladies and gents. My name is Melvin Duckett. I'm the Human Resource Manager for Alexco RMC JV based in Alexandra. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rafik Baker. I'm the Chairperson of the Board of Alexco.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Erna Larkin, Acting CEO, Alex Gould.
Good morning. My name is Sakara and I'm coming back to stand for the
conference. Do we have any apologies?
I would like to add a quick apology from Dr. Kono. Ms. Michael is on her way, the flight is delayed. Mr. Jacobo, Mr. Nana.
Thank you. Those are apologies. Let me, on behalf of the committee, extend a special word of welcome to the chair of the board, the new chair, and to wish you well to the term as chair of the board. I hope you bring with you some new energy in taking Alexco where we all would want to see that. Can I then invite? Oh, I'm sorry, the DGGs also. yeah, we'd also like to congratulate you on your appointment as DGG and to wish you every success in your new role. And I hope you also bring a new and better way of doing things there. Wishing both good health. glad I'm invited to share the report to say a few words for the Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, it will be a very brief introduction. I think just to say this is the first presentation after the implementation of the deed of settlement and the establishment of the PHAV, the Pooling and Sharing Joint Venture. This now puts us in a good position to pursue both the objectives of LexCo and also the PHAV independently. I'm going to ask Daniel to run through the presentations, and then as we deal with questions, where we can get some great clarity. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm going to start the slides. This is based on the annual report of March, the end of March 2012. I'm going to touch on the report, chairman and the CEO's rights of the annual report, some governance issues, and then I'll touch on the financial statements as well. Starting off with the chairman's report, key objectives identified for financial year was the secondment of the LXCo employees to the LXCo RMC JV. That is the name given to the PHAV that we make mention of during the report. During the year, there was a separation of the cost and the reporting between LXCo and the LXCo RMC JV. And the battery commenced with the exploration process for the land mining and RMC is the Richtersveld mining company.
That's what was called the RMC in the past, so that's why he won. It's because he's got... he owns, I think, a patent of the abbreviation. He used to have the release Mandela campaign. He just wants to make sure that you're but still he is intellectual.
And in terms of the financial performance, total combined revenue for LXCo and LXCo obviously JV was in line with the previous year. And then we just made mention that the RMC JV is expected to probably break even in the next year due to exploration activities that will take place in the Alexander Bay area. In terms of the going concern, at the end of the financial year, MCF application was submitted and then the 50 million has been approved by National Treasury to go to the accordingly, we were happy that Alec had sufficient cash resources until the end of March 2030. In terms of reporting and corporate governance, we continuously implementing measures to improve compliance with PSMA, Treasury regulations, as well as the King 3, and monitoring performance on these issues are ongoing. In terms of future outlook, Alec was currently pursuing and developing new mining measures. PHAV became the custodian of all operational activities, diamond revenue and related expenses present in Alexander Bay. LXCo remained with its corporate structure and obligations towards environmental liability, the post-retirement medical aid liability and the obligations set out in the deal settlement. This was the first in which LXCo only incorporated 51% of the profits of the historical operations in Alexander Bay area, with the RMC taking up the rest of the 49% interest. Therefore, LXCo's financial statements did reflect material losses in the 2012 financial year. LXCo also made some progress with the upgrade of the Alexander Bay Dam, and almost 60 million were expensed during the year under review. The tons of upgrade consists of four phases, and three of the four phases were completed by the end of the financial year, and we're currently looking at the end of November being the total completion of the whole downed upgrade. During the under review, Alex achieved 2,000 fatality free per day in shifts, and that he achieved in the month of July 2011. In terms of our reputation obligations, over 150 kilometers of netting was installed on the south side of Kukaberg, and that compared to 75 kilometers of netting in the previous year.
And we're confident that we're putting efforts are having a positive impact on the historical places. And in future years, we up the publication expenses to almost 20 million to ensure that we do address the liability that we currently show in our balance sheet. And as I said, the PSJV is now operating independently, and they're being managed independently from Alex Corp. The PSJV has a separate board and a separate management team from that of Alex Corp. During the current year, under review, the accounting records were done successfully, and therefore all the challenges encountered during the entire implementation process have been satisfactorily resolved, in line with the requirement of the deed of settlement. The annual financial statements consisted of Alex's own operations, and then obviously 51% of its stack in the PSJV's operation. All operational activities were transferred to the PSJV, therefore Alex has no other income-generating streams, but remained with its overhead cost, which added to the loss-making situation of Alicor. Alicor budgeted for a loss of 20 million for the financial year, which resulted in an actual loss of 16 million. Now, just the three things that can add to the material items that contributed to the loss. Firstly, the pooling and mining assets into the JV, and Alicor had to pool some of its operational assets to that of the PSJV for their operations, and that accumulated resulted in a loss of almost 8 million rand, and it obviously also forfeited 49% of its profits to the PSJV due to the basically the implementation of the deal of settlement, and then also had some bad debts in terms of housing in Alexander Bay, and it's almost just over 2 million. Just touching on the new business development, these are things that I've mentioned, Alex Corp needs to look into other opportunities and investigate other possible and sustaining entities, operations to generate any income. As for such long-term investment, the PSJV will be relatively passive in the next few years due to exploration activities that will commence on that, and we foresee profits hopefully in the next 2 or 3 years with regards to that operation. As well in the past has been getting into new opportunities in predominantly the Northern Cape and the Northwest Province. Currently the objective are to expand its diamond operations. Then I just mentioned a few benefits that we also plan to report with regards to new business opportunities in terms of the creation of other opportunities, social upliftment, improved training of employees, increased revenues and profits, and then hopefully in the future, the distribution of dividends to the shareholder. Alex Corp is looking, as I mentioned, into new opportunities, and hopefully in future, when the necessary funds are available, we'll be looking into submitting our PMA applications in terms of new business opportunities. Currently, we're looking at greenfield operations as well as paying consent to address the need of Alex Corp going forward. In terms of its financial position, at the end of the year, a balance sheet of a net asset value of 20 million compared to the previous year 70 million. And as I mentioned, 350 million was allocated to Alex for its MTF application. That will be mainly for the settlement of statutory obligations in terms of VAT, CDP, a rental lease, and the result of the deal of settlement requirements. It will be utilized for the settlement of the historical rehabilitation and post-retirement medical liability, and once this happens, Alex's balance sheet will significantly improve. It will settle all old legacy issues, as well as the liabilities inherited from historical operations, which Alex will solvency going forward. With all liabilities settled and our planning obligations addressed in terms of the deed of settlement, Alex will be able to focus on new opportunities and obviously that the operations of the PSJV. At the same time, Alexco can positively contribute to the region and the shareholder objectives in terms of improving the economy and increasing employment in surrounding communities. In terms of the township upgrade, I touched on this. It consisted of 4 phases. An initial amount of 150 million was set aside to do the upgrade. It consisted of 4 phases, being the civil engineering services, electrical engineering services, mechanical and electrical pumping equipment, and then wastewater treatment work, which is the one that I mentioned now. We're probably looking by the end of November to be safe, by the end of December the upgrade will be completed in terms of an export obligation.
terms of the PSJ's operation, as I said, they are sitting with operations in Alexander Bay. They managed to accumulate profit of just over 14 million compared to the budget of just over 1 million. We had an average exchange rate for the sales of our diamonds of 729 compared to a budget of 720. Revenue in the JV amounted to just below 170 million with a budget of just over 170 million. The reason for the lower budget is revenue figures related to lower dollar per carat diamond prices, along with the decline in sea days during the year, which I'll touch on now. In terms of operating profit, it managed to accumulate just below 10 million for the first year of its operations, but above expectations. There's just a graph to show you the dramatic decline in carats produced for the past 10 years. You'll note that we started probably at 140,000 carats annually back in 2000, and the decline went down to where we are today, around about 36,000 carats annually for the year. In terms of sea rates, maybe just to touch on the sea rate, the sea rate in terms of marine mining is a day when more than 50% of your production units, your boats, go out to the sea and have a full day of mining. And there we can also see that a dramatic decline since 2003, where we started at 80 days, 2007 we're down to 23 days, and the last year that we recorded was 2012 at 8 days. Obviously also resulting in lower revenues and lower diamond production due to the fact that there was only 8 days available in the year 2012. And with regards to the UN resources and cycle development, the selection committee prioritizes the selection of historical disadvantaged South African candidates, ensuring compliance with company targets in terms of the requirement of the empowerment charter of the South African mining industry. The headcount as of 31 March 2012 was approximately 104 permanent employees, 66 term contract employees, and a total of just over 600 contractors involved in electrical diamond production. Salaries paid for the period under the review amounted to just over 20 million with regard to employees and just over 100 million with regard to the contractors on the concessions in Alexandra. At the end of the financial year, representations from NUMS to just over 60% to also 23% and non-affiliate at 14%. The relationship with these unions ended up on the review, which is positive. In April 2011, the company started raising negotiations with the unions, and an agreement was reached on the following. And across the company increased to 7.5%, bonus of 4.5% based on the gross operating profit of 11 million was also paid out. With regards to the union's pledge in terms of the agreement, a commitment to increase production by 10% year on year. We just included a table below that depicts the further training and development initiatives undertaken by the company. In terms of academic learnerships, we included the geology, environmental management, engineer, finance, HR, and office management. In terms of community portable training, we included courses for fitting and tinners, electricians, auto electricians, HIV awareness, alcohol and drug abuse training, and training as a center training for licensing, etc. In terms of the company's economic equity profile, they just listed everything from senior management down to unsecured, and we're happy with the 80% of designated groups in the case of the department. So, Alex School invested around about 2.5 million during the year on social interventions. Social and labor plans have been submitted and reached certain objectives were set and specific commitments made. In terms of the previous, the current social and labor plan requirements or things set out to do, we mentioned researching and grading of dirt roads, alcohol, drug and HIV support services, the establishment of emergency services, partnership with the Riverside municipality, and exploiting the natural resources in the area by establishing tannery and leather projects. We also set out the development of fuel stations, promoting the agricultural and agro-processing support for the community, the upgrade of Alexander Bay Town, a hostel revamp, and then lastly, the office will engage the assist the preparation of a revised social and labor plan for submission to PMR, which is currently in process. In terms of corporate balance, just quickly on this, the previous financial year we had 5 non-executive directors, and they all served on the subcommittees including audit risk, tender, remuneration, rehabilitation, and then obviously the DSJ board. I did include a remuneration paid to directors and senior management in the current year, and this is all disclosed at the second last page of the annual report. The reason why there may have been some increases was just due to the fact that the DSJ board was added to the functions of the current board, and therefore there may have been some increases with regards to those members. In terms of Alex was predetermined objective, we're happy that we achieved most of the objectives, excluding those of the social and labour plan. As I mentioned, we are on the basis of revisiting the social and labour plan to make it more viable and sustainable for the current community in the next short to medium to long term. We basically reported on anything from new mining projects, the financial aspects of both Alex and the PSJV throughout the financial year. We touched on the expansion of mining operations in terms of diamond production. We optimized the exploitation of mining areas by increasing the contractors on those concessions. And we included the safety objections for the year, our rehabilitation program in terms of the EMP and contributions to the rehabilitation truck, and then as lastly the social contributions to socioeconomic upliftment. And lastly, the transfer of the North Cooperation along with the completion of the township upgrade. Getting to the financial statements, the Audit and Risk Committee performed its functions in accordance with the Companies Act and the PSMA. The committee has adopted appropriate formal terms of reference as its charter and has regulated its affairs and compliance with the charter. The Audit and Risk Committee comprised of 3 independent non-executive directors who had the required knowledge and experience as set out in the necessary requirements from the Companies Act. The opinion of the committee and internal controls of the company are considered appropriate to meet the business objectives of the company and to ensure the company's assets are safeguarded and ensure transactions undertaken in the company's accounting record. The committee has evaluated the annual financial statements for the year 30 March 2012 and considered that they comply in all material aspects with the requirements of the PSMA, the Companies Act, and International Financial Reporting Standards. The committee acknowledges that Alex has made significant progress in addressing the control weaknesses identified previously and look forward to the future control environment which will provide a sound basis for Alex to meet its obligations in terms of the shareholders. The ordinary committee therefore recommended the adoption of the financial statements by the board of directors. PricewaterhouseCoopers presented an unqualified audit opinion for the 2012 financial year, and emphasis on that was reported with regards to Alex's own concern principles, and then there were 2 non-compliance issues with regards to the PSA and the performance information, as I mentioned before when we touched on that. In terms of the director's report, farming operations were transferred back in 2008, and as mentioned, the PSJV was commenced on the 7th of April 2012 of this year. The board of directors consisted of 5 non-executive personnel. The CEO's contract expired after year end. And in terms of this being local information, the board was looking to add a few directors and appoint a permanent CEO of the strategic objectives included establishment at the commencement of the Alex Coe RMC JV, which happened in the financial year, and obviously to commence the exploration in onshore and offshore mining and processing areas. New business opportunities have been explored, as I mentioned before, and we did explore three litigation statements in terms of the Riesling and Iberian compensation plan that has been disclosed in detail at the end of the annual report. terms of the environmental liability, Alex could say 258 liability with almost 50 million cash and rehabilitation trust to address that. That led to an unfunded portion of almost 210 million. In terms of the going concern principle, Alex had almost 70 million in cash available. He had a first time of declared liability balance of 47 million, and we expected a cash outflow of 47 million during the year. And therefore, I'm confirming the fact that we are confident in the next 12 months that that would have been sufficient. Like I said, we had USP as a main system and objective compliance. In terms of its assets, as I mentioned, Alex Core had to pull some of its assets into the Alex Core RC JV, and that led to losses within Alex Core. Alex Core did also appear on a board evaluation process, and all reports and investments have been submitted to the shareholder. And just emphasizing the fact that after the BSJ had commenced, Alex Core remained with the head office, township management in terms of its housing and town maintenance obligations in Alexander Bay, and then the rehabilitation liability, which is the result of historical disturbance up to the 6th of April 2011. In the current year, we reported the 51% share in the BSJ on a proportionately consolidated basis during the year. Therefore, Alex Core kept most of the costs, but we were only able to account for 51% of the profits from our operations. In terms of the statement of the financial position, as I said, Alex was close to 50 million in cash compared to the previous year's 37 million. We had a non-current asset held for sale, approximately 160 million that will be transferred once the township upgrade is complete. Alex was solvent with a net asset value of 20.4 million at year end. The rehabilitation liability is standing at 158 million and the budget time of the collect liability, so that's the 47 million. Alex's revenue was down during the financial year, only 113 million was disclosed, compared to 196 million compared to the previous period. That is due to the loss of 49% of the operating profit and due to commencement of the BSJV. If both the revenues were added together, the JV and Alex Core, you'd note that the current revenue for the year would have been 196 million and that directly correlates to the previous period. Alex Core made a gross loss for the period of just below 10 million compared to last year's 25 million in profit. The loss for the year, 16.4 million, was because of a movement of almost 100 million compared to the previous year. The main reasons for this was the movement in gross profit of close to 34 million rand, which was due to the profit that Alex Core forfeited due to the 49% stake transferred to the BSAV. The previous year, there were other income bad items disposed to the amount of 40 million, and obviously the movement in rehabilitation and post-retirement and medical aid liabilities accumulated to close to 20 million, which is basically just paper profit. In terms of its equity, Alex Core transferred 20 million to the BSAV to assist with their working capital requirements. This 20 million was recognized in equity, and that led to Alex Core showing a comprehensive income for the year of 3.5 million. In terms of Alex Core cash position at the end of March, we had operational cash of close to 10 million. We had cash allocated in a legal trust of 10 million. Government funds accumulated to 260 million, and the cash in the rehabilitation trust of 48 million, giving us a total of close to 390 million rand. Then I just disclosed the summary of the PSJV's results for the country. As I added, the PSJV made a profit of 9.5 million in operating profit for the year, and a net profit for the year of 14.5 million. In terms of Alex Crusade and other receivables, we just disclosed here the fact that we are carrying a provision for bad debt to the amount of 3 million for the financial year. Government funded obligations are GFR funds included funds towards the rehabilitation of Bukhubar. As you can see, that project has been finalized. We do have funds for the township establishment, which was with regard to the township outreach, and with regards related to the deed of settlement. Is still being implemented in terms of its memorandum of understanding. The re-legislation project has been completed And then lastly, the PDIV recapitalization, which was the $200 million that Alishko received with regards to assist the PDIV with its working capital requirements and obviously in terms of exploration activities. I think we're already touched on the time of upgrade. As I mentioned, we're looking at the end of November to get this project completed. Once we finish, the township will be transferred to the Northwest Cape government. Also litigation assets, as I've noted, we do have cash ring fence towards these cases, and the lawyers and legal representation were happy that no financial provision were made during the financial year with regards to these cases. Events of the reporting period, I did mention that we are looking into exploration activity in the Peace Valley and Alexander Bay. Alex scored. We have $200 million available for these exploration activities, and the contract is in place with regards to exploration, and we hopefully by the end of the financial year we'll have indication of the mining plan going forward with regards to exploration activities. An amount of $60 million was allocated to the employer surplus account with regards to Alex Corp's pension fund, and the fact that $250 million was allocated to Alex Corp via the NPS application, no funds have been received today. That is in short summary of Alex's annual report for March 25.
Members are doing it. Why are you talking about it? Okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, it's not on that agenda. So you shouldn't be afraid. You are so shocked.
Thank you so much for the presentation. I'll invite members.
Chair, some I can ask the other issue possible for the human resource function in Alexander Bay, and he can deliberate them.
Now, I just want, if this is at all possible, tell us how many people are we talking about, and how much is actually spent, and what are your plans in the new year? How many people are you targeting? Or how much do you plan to spend?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
The other one would be on the hospital with them. That 700,000 that's been spent. If you can just note them, the questions, because what we're going to do now, just like you did with your presentation, the members will raise all their questions or point for clarity, so you may sit down for some, and you see how you share those amongst yourselves, how we will do it. This thing about the upgrade hospital, I just want to find out whether or not, I think Marikana exposed a lot of bad things that happen in our mining community, whether or not, that also helped you to relook at your situation and to try and apply what happens in the government, because it's not only the money that we have to demand, but also the social conditions. I saw the hand of Honorable Kwena, Honorable Santa, Honorable Bowman, Honorable Katemba, Honorable Kororo, and Honorable Lana.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the report, and we understand the of Alexco, the very difficult issue that this state-owned company has come through. We need more time. We have to travel everything, but I think we must just be satisfied with what we have and try and accept politically and try to move Alex forward. We know the PRC report will be coming very soon. We don't know how it will position Alex go. But at the moment, look, pragmatism says this is really what we have. Now, one point that has been very good in many ramifications. That of the trust. The trust that Palesco has, I don't mean they are. They are existing inside of there. Some of them have got money, others don't have money. I don't know all of them have money. Now, yes. What we must deal with now was a real question of is this the alignment? And the specific fact that the municipality is going to, like this is now upgraded the RMC to phase 3 of qualifying this municipality. And they only have 6 months. The last phase is going to be next month. So we then attacked the situation scenario of 3 entities. We have the trucks on the one side, on one hand, and in the middle of what Alex spoke there with the chief basis. Now, what is going to be the relationship of this trust with the PSD? It's a rhetorical question. And also, to venture a suggestion here, that it should be very generous to the PSD leader to came on and for the council that we are a 15% shareholder, to turn our federal dues, that's it, and leave those trucks there existing out in the wilderness. Of course, they can be very generous. They've got the stationaries, they've got metals, they've got hot dams, etc., etc., and they can cause real havoc and destabilize and just listen as to what can be done. So it's important to rein them in legally or judicially. Now, I want to find out what legal mechanism is the minister in the board of honest court in the city in order not to leave as orphans or just street kids, as it is. So I welcome them to find us.
Clarity on the development is still necessary in the sense of independence of these two entities, Alexco on this side and PSAV on the other side. The CEO was saying the PSAV is now operating and being managed independently from Alexco. That was on the earlier slide, on the earlier pages of the slide. But later on, you find out that there's codependence or interdependence between the two entities so far as operations are concerned. I'm picking that one up. On later slide, where we're saying that the operations I don't see the slide now. They're operating together. I'm sure even the department can assist us on this one. It's a question that we ask the department about. What is going to the state of affairs now? Who is going to be a DPE entity? Is it Alexco? And what will happen about the PSA? Where will it be? Where will it go? To understand the standing of the community and why it should be a standalone kind of entity that it is. But that's to clear the act. What is going to happen now going to towards that total independence of the two structures? That is the first one. The second one, the second, would be on the human resources. On the human resources, the CEO was talking about a community portable training, which is a very, very good thing. But if you look at the courses that are being taken there, you would see that these are courses that are not entirely residing within Alexco. Yes, they might reside in the CSJC. Now, who absorbs these people when they are doing their training? I'll take for an example the training center for traffic training, licensing and everything. Those people that are being trained in that course, where do they get involved? And what is Alexco and what are they doing in order to get those people adequately absorbed? The last one, Chairperson. I understand that my neighbors are very, very shocked and traumatized by recent events, and this is not part of the committee.
Oh, the journey. This is not a genuine topic.
Sorry, sorry. On the litigation statement, I have gone out like the CEO was talking. Could I get more clarity on that litigation statement? What does it mean? What bearing does it have on either Alexco or the CSJC? Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Honorable
order not sustained.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps I'll just start with that one, since that has been raised, that is on my list here. And I would like to ask you, and you do clearly state there under your point number 25, the note, but it seems to me that there is sort of stagnant, there's no progress. And I'm sitting here on a letter that we received from you in February 2010. And when I looked at this, the progress that was made here is exactly the same in your report today. So perhaps you can just tell us, you know, and you're not setting aside any making any financial contingency for this. So are you expecting that this is just going to fade into nothing? I think that's really the question. I want to also just say that right in the beginning of your report, under your overview, your core values, I really am impressed with those. Honesty, integrity, professionalism, accountability. I like that. Now, let's go a little further. I want to perhaps ask you regarding your internal control. Now, I'm going to ask this question in relation to
shocks that we in this committee have received in the past regarding entities. We've done our job very faithfully, and yet we haven't picked up some of the problems. Now, on page 54 of your report, you state in your under internal control that internal controls are designed to provide reasonable but not absolute assurance as to the reliability of the financial statements. Now, if I look at that and then I read on a little bit further, you have things like an audit and risk committee, external auditors, your management, you've got fraud hotlines. How can we not be a little bit more sure that we're not thinking? Because this is really what it's saying. In what you present to us, and I would like some assurance, some better assurance from you into the future, that you have enough controls in place to pick up any problems that will start to arise. And then perhaps my other question would be, under your human resources, and here I just need some clarity, where you talk about your BE profile as of 31st of March. I don't see many females employed here, and or am I just not reading your table correctly? Perhaps females are not, say, staying at home in Alex Corps. I'm not too sure, but if we can have some explanation about that. And then, under your slide where you talk about remuneration, Yes, here it is. We talk about corporate governance, the remuneration paid to directors. There's been a huge drop in the chief executive officer. Can you just explain that? From 2.4 million in 2010-11, 11-12, 1.17. Now, I know that there's been a resignation or something there, but if we could just have clarity on that. And then perhaps I could just ask one more question, Chairperson, and that is regarding the drop in CDAs and also in CARES. You know, it's not just a little bit, it's really drastic stuff. So, you know, if we could have a little clearer understanding, because if this is the way, it's just going to keep going, because we just don't ever mean anything there anyway. And then the question would be, what are your plans? And I know you're talking about all the, you know, you're doing all these other investigations to expand now, you know, now that everything's been sorted out, which is good. But I think we need more than just those, you know, with exploring and those good words. We actually now need to see some sort of a definite plan. Now, where are you with that definite plan as you move forward in your new structure? Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
The role that the Treasury is playing in giving support or not to the future survival of this entity. That on the financing structure. Can we understand the role that public enterprises is playing in saying to South Africa that this entity is an entity that are believed in, has the potential, takes into consideration its location and obviously the people that are there and why it is important to have a particular turnaround. You see, the part that is not clear to us is we accept that there's been a court outcome led to this separation, the way you come across is when that happened, there was, you know, you don't know what the word you can use. There's just like a black hole. There's nothing. Now, that leads to a lot of uncertainty of what is it that we would want. We won't, as a committee, say, close down Alex or let us go away. But I think equally you've got to understand that we don't see, and it's not the first year. I mean, if you know, I went back to your annual report. Your annual reports are consistent, and that is the downward. So we're trying to battle with seeing what is your rescue plan. What are the elements that will bring the entity to the intention, the legislative intention, as to why we have formed the entity. I want to understand both from them and from public enterprises the law that they put into, like in this parliament, that created the entity. When are we coming back to that? Why we have done what we've done in this parliament? Having said that, what if it's a reality that the entity is not the same anymore? And what are, by when will Parliament receive a new legislative proposal on I'm not sure if it's this committee or it will be the Minerals Committee. I think it was the Minerals Committee that ushered in the Act. But nevertheless, it's one parliament. We'd like to know by when will we receive a legislative act, because our worry is we're giving money to a law that doesn't exist. And how is that possible that we are doing that? When I say a law that doesn't exist, you're not the same entity in the part of the act is concerned. You have changed by the fact that the court has pronounced on a particular dispensation. And that dispensation in law needs to be articulated also. I'm not convinced that in law it articulates the current dispensation. So the question is, by when would we receive, and if I'm wrong, if you can correct me to say, what foot do you have in this country to operate in the manner that you are legally speaking?
Thank you. I've got only one question. It's a growing concern, actually. In the ALEXCO submitted the medium term expenditure framework application of an amount of 360 million rand, and it was approved by National Treasury. And accordingly, ALEXCO has sufficient cash resources up to March 2013. Now, on this page, they are saying significant funding will be required after. I just want to get clarity around that as to what does it mean. They've got enough resources, cash, and they'll need funding after. Just want clarity.
Chair, Mario Busoto has been all over me, harassing me as usual, and this time around he's been joined by Honorable September. and you will realize that they still have concussion. If two kids come in, clap against somebody from the same case. So yeah, I'm battling with that at the moment, but I'm coping. That was for the level that I was. Say I came to this meeting 5 or 10 minutes before the gentleman concluded his presentation. You will understand that I may have had about 4% of his presentation. But as a diligent MP, as you know, that I read my reports, I read the analysis as they come. I see the man is laughing. What worries me, Chair, is his profit margin at Alex. You know, as you're probably be aware, last year we took a trip to Venezuela. It was a study tour to Venezuela. And well, this is quite debatable, but at least my observation in Venezuela about nationalization was that it worked. It implemented properly. Now, this is an industry out of the hands of capital. This is an industry out of the hands of the private sector. I want to equal the Alexco project to an entity which is out of capital, to an entity which is out of the private sector. And therefore it should be a model that everyone should look up to say, wow, this thing is working. It's not true that whenever something is in the public hands, it's either mismanaged, it's run down, and then other allegations, as you will know. Now, I know the potential of Alexco, but I know what's the current output in terms of finance, but I am worried about your profit margin. They are not doing any justice. They are not painting a presentable picture to the world out there that this kind of model can work. To this extent, Chair, my question really revolves around the theft issue at Alexco. It's a known fact Alexco could do far better than it does. It's reported that there are syndicates that are operating in that region who are stealing the diamonds. I'm not in a position to point fingers, but I'm saying it's reported. What are your plans? What is the plan to try and quell this rather terrible habit, which is stealing from the people of Alexco, from the people of Rakhine? What is your plan? Secondly, what is it that you can tell this committee to look forward to your next annual report with enthusiasm? Gotcha.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to direct the question to you, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask Mervyn just to talk around the hospital upgrade. The question around the hospital upgrade. I'll deal with the issue around relevance to Marikana, and my colleague will help me.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee.
And as far as the hostel revamps are concerned, I would just like to rectify perhaps an incorrect assertion, and that is that Alexco still have hostels. We do not have hostels. The bulk of the hostels that were used in the previous arena are standing vacant at the moment. And what we do have is single quarters, where one person per room with a bathroom and a kitchen facility. So I just wanted to rectify that. So the mention of the revamp of the hostel is in fact a revamp of the single quarters into family units. Now, in 2008, there was massive downscaling at our next school, and there were retrenchments. And at that time, most, if not all, of the high school permanent employees were transferred into housing units within the town of Alexander Bay, and also into those units that the company had in the town of Port Nolloth. Yes, we still have Alexco permanent employees living in our single quarter in the hostels, but they live there by choice. Most of those people currently living in the, or the Alexco permanent employees living in the single quarters, are those employees that come from outside the town of Alexander Bay, and they have accommodation, their own accommodation in the area of domicile. They also prefer to reside in hostels because they get three nutritious meals free of charge in the mess hall, which the company also obviously is providing. So the revamp of the single quarters, that we anticipate to be completed around about February, March in the new year. In 2030. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think just the issue of the upgrade of the hostels and in fact the entire town is not linked to any event that has taken place elsewhere. It's something that Alexco and the PSJ JV is doing as a responsible employer, and there's certain requirements that were set out by the Deed of Settlement, but otherwise we see the future of the mine is going to be growth, and so because it's going to be growth, that's why we're addressing all of these needs in respect of housing. Chair, if I can continue, just in respect of the issue of the trust, through the deed of settlement, the community, through the CPA and the Rustersfeld Mining Company, etc., were compelled to establish a various trust. And unfortunately, we have no jurisdiction over those trusts. They reside only with the community. So it becomes difficult for us to manage that. However, as the member has said, there is the potential for challenges if the trusts are not run correctly. And so what we've done is, based on our involvement in the PSJV as board members, any allocations that we make in terms of funding or so, our insistence is that we want to see full compliance with the PFMA. That's the only form of protection that we do have. And so our insistence at the PSJV board level is that we want to see compliance with the PFMA. If we're unable to see that, then we're unable to so it's an indirect manner in which, but that's the best way that we can do it right now, because these are separate entities for which we have no responsibility.
There was a question on the clarity and the independence of Alexco and the PSJ in terms of the PSJ entity. I think the PSJ, the deed of settlement has struck with the PSJ to be an unincorporated joint venture. So it's not incorporated in terms of law. And to answer your question, Alexco is still the DPE entity. We do incorporate 51% of our JV within our records. What we try to do in terms of our internal control is we try to communicate best practices and the same policies and procedures we use within Alexco to
to that of the JV, so that everything they do also complies with Happiness Act, everything they do also complies with PSMA. Anything in terms of quarterly reports, performance objectives. So in terms of the DP entity, it remains Alex Corp.
Chair, just again on that, because we sit at the PSJV board, again, are insistently, although it is unincorporated and we have had the experience where there's a tendency to believe that because it is unincorporated, it doesn't have to comply with either the PFMA or the companies. What we've done is that we've said that may be true for an unincorporated joint venture, but for us, we are accountable to Parliament, to the Auditor General, and the questions they're going to ask us is about PFMA. So even though that entity itself is not, we are not prepared to work in an environment where PFMA is not adhered to, even though the entity is wanting to move from us. So again, that's been a mechanism, and that's far more effective for us because we sit on the, we are directors and we have a fiduciary responsibility as directors. So that is much easier for us to implement as opposed to, let's say, the trust. I'm going to ask Melvin to deal with the issue around the courses and how people are absorbed back into.
If I may, can you also, maybe you're still coming to this question, but because of what you said, what in law got you to sit onto the other board?
I think that in the deed of settlement, it states that under the full and shared joint venture, there are three representatives from the community and three from the Exco board. So it's in terms of the deal of it.
Yeah, it's a follow-up question. You see, the national trust should really be an act. How many of the trusts are there? And you know, I would like to come up with a conspiracy theory. You know, I did ask you, and I wanted to find out how many of these trusts in the set up. And he did mention the CPA, he also said, I don't know what to do with. What are you doing?
For all the same trusts, I think there is one trust, PGST, that is in the picture here. If you talk about Rexco and PSD, they have been dilly-dallying in terms of explaining the setting of that trust. I'm talking about the time from the previous last CEO, that lady, the lady, Kathy, from those times, it seemed as if ADFP is untouchable. Mm-hmm. And it raised our eyebrows. That is why we're keeping on coming back on the trust fund. We know that there are other trust funds that are operating there. I think in one way or another, we are dealing with that. But there are deals with ADFP.
Chairperson, can I quickly make a comment that it's the first thing that Honorable Mugwana can still recall Kate was me after such a long time.
No, my knowledge is not the chair. The trust that I was referring to are those that have been established by virtue of the deed of settlement. So the ADFT, that's totally different. I think my colleague will give some update on where we are with them. The deed of settlement, those are by the committee. So the CPA, no, they are in the Rustersfeld community, yes. So the CPA... Yes, they represent the Rustersfeld community. So to my knowledge,
They have a community property association, which is considered to be the overarching body that oversees all of these other entities. There's the mining company, there's an agricultural trust, there's an investment trust, and there's an economic development trust. What any funding that 49% partner would receive, or any dividend it would receive from the joint venture, yes, they would then distribute it as they determine. It says if ElexCo receive a dividend, it would come to ElexCo, the ElexCo board, and the shareholder would make that decision how those funds are distributed. They are in total control of the funds and all of those institutions as set up by the deed of settlement.
Mindset. Let's say, let's assume that in the PSCC we have the profit of 100 million. Now, 51%, let's go into the joint venture, the 51 million. And then the PSCC will take 49%. Now, you're saying from the 50%, let's go to the nomination to distribute the funds of this fund. How many are they actually? We just mentioned a few. Because you see, the state is a shareholder. That's the whole point of that way. We are here because we are exercising over the state-owned companies. Now, if the other one has given 51%, the board meets of Alexa and says, fine, one for me, one for you, one for me, one for you. How much accrues the state?
Sorry, Chair, the 51 million that would come out of the hypothetical 100 million goes to ElexCo. It doesn't go to any trust. The 49 million that goes to the CPA, they will distribute it to their trust. We don't fund any of the trust at all.
Thank you, Jeff. We've got a question on the ElexCo Development Foundation trust. What I can add is that it's very related to the role that these various trusts are playing. Is that the EU directive from the ministry? If you look at the role that the ElexCo Trust is playing versus all these other ones, especially the PSGV, to ensure that there's no duplication in the role that they are playing within the community. The other one that I just want to add the issue of issue that has been raised in the past with regard to the ElexCo Trust, that the letter is with the Master of the High Court. We are awaiting a response from the Master, and once we have a response, obviously then we'll act accordingly. I don't know whether my colleagues from the legal would like to add anything.
Okay. Just in terms of the capitalization of the trust, the trust was, I think it commenced back in the early 90s, and back then ElexCo made profits, and the profits were distributed to the ADF Trust, and in terms of the ADF Trust, they utilized those funds towards certain social projects. The ElexCo Development Foundation, and in the late 90s, ElexCo started making losses, and therefore there was no contributions towards the trust. So what I'm basically saying is, back in the late 90s, with the last contributions ElexCo made to the trust, and then they made losses. So for the last 10 to 15 years, the trust has not been capitalized from ElexCo's side. And I think the issue that started to exist with the ADF was the mismanagement and the non-recording and the accountability of those funds 15 years ago, and the funds were distributed to the ADF.
Yeah, Lord. Chairperson, I think let's take what CPG is saying. Wait for the response from the Master Lord. I think what the CEO is saying is not what we know and what the other CEOs are saying. In terms of
Alexco understands what that hand was being used for. That one is a hand, that one is a hand. Nobody wanted to dip his or her fingers into the activities of those hands. So let's leave what he's saying. And, so one worrying factor, as you see, Honorable Mwena harping on the screen, is that without having cleared the operation of the area class, which is ADRT, we are creating other class. A litany of unaccountability. I mean, that's what we're doing in that community. That community knows itself, they know that those trustees who belong to other boards never accounted. And nothing was done about that. We're creating other boards. How are they going to work? That's why it's a minefield, you know. So it's something that needs to be navigated quite carefully, because really, we're coming from there. A lot of us in the Northern Cape are subjected to a master, which is unfortunate and untenable. You know? So we're saying, creating other trusts, whilst we have this ghost without being clear, it becomes a mythic kind of an operation on our part. Therefore, we need to look at how we resolve this trust. Because really, they would say today, we did these social intervention activities, and when they go there, there's no such. And when they come back for another presentation, they've forgotten what they said. You know, I think these are the experiences. And therefore, really, I would live with what you have said. Thank you.
My proposal would be that in this regard, maybe we shouldn't pursue any more questions around whatever else. As the portfolio committee is within our ambit to go and get our own legal advice on the current status of both Alex Gore Trust and all of these other things, so that we can satisfy ourselves in terms of the provision of the Public Finance Management Act, the current legislation that is there, and also the Division of Revenue Act and all of those things, because that's our mandate. Our mandate is law, our mandate is where we send the money to. And so that we have not been found wanting in trying to face something that we are not, you know, we're not quite comfortable about at this stage. So that would be my suggestion, Chair, that we rather do that. We just that because I think we can't accept any more of these questions.
One, as Honorable September raised earlier on, in fact, this has been a question on a number of occasions about, we now have this new entity, what is it called, JPPJV, but there's a law that established Alexco, and then there's a court order that comes up with something that says that impacts the master, that impacts on the law itself, you know, so, and but that law still stands. So something needs to be done. You can't have a law that says the cars must drive on the right-hand side, and the court decides that the cars must drive on the left and the right-hand side, like the left or right, whichever, the opposite direction. And then you still have a law in our book. It's a bit of a contradiction. I think that's also something that we need to go and solve. But we have to start some process
relook at that.
Thank you, Chair. We certainly note the concerns that the Honorable Sapira has raised with regard to the current form that ALEXCO has taken versus the act that established it. We will certainly take that into DPE and seek advice from our legal people in terms of how we need to respond. Our understanding at this moment that the PLJV, as it is currently established, does not impact on the law, on the Act, on the ALEXCO Act as it stands. And that in view of the fact that the board, the ALEXCO board, is looking at this form, this unincorporated form, and that may eventually lead to the corporate structure being formed for the PLJV, which, if you look at the current profit interest of 51% that ALEXCO has in the PLJV, may result in actually the PLJV being a subsidiary of ALEXCO, which would mean that ALEXCO, inclusive of the PLJV, would not have deviated from the act that founded it. But we know the concern, and we'll certainly have a look at it and just ensure that we may seek also independent opinion just to ensure that there's nothing else that we have possibly missed.
I concur wholeheartedly with what I'm saying. That we have a personal committee issue that we will reference, get together advice, and in respect of how to look closely into, let's say, forensically look into all this, the transfer and funding, all this, this whole plethora of transfer, that's really one, in the form of science. But two, we just agree with them. You cannot have a community holding a share and being a section of government. You know, the PSDG can never possibly be a subsidiary. It can't, not indeed. But it defeats the purpose. It has six dimensions completely. It can't be a subsidiary of ALEXCO because ALEXCO is a state owned company of government. Right? And then if it has gone this route of setting up such a group, it can never possibly become subsidiary. Oh my God. So, how do you
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I also want to support that. I think that we would be irresponsible if it's something that we're not happy with, that we don't investigate. I think that relates back to my earlier question about how confident we are that there's nothing creeping in that we, you know, it's going to be a blot on us as a portfolio committee, and also on ALEXCO. I think, you know, we work together on this. So I would very much support this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to cut this whole story short now. I think it was breaking. I think we had agreed around that we are going to consult our legal advisors, both the committee and the ALEXCO, about the whole matter. So that I think we can proceed, they can proceed with the questions and ask and the response to the questions. Meanwhile, we're going to seek the legal advice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Miller. The question that the Chair posed at the opening of questions was in regard to the academic learnerships, the portable training, etc. I would just like to comment on that all of these, or most of these, are current employees that are being groomed
for future positions within the organization, and it forms part of our succession planning. The geology student who will finish studying her studies next year, we will most certainly have both. And we are, in terms of the environmental, the rehabilitation, we will be looking at that, employing that student there. So the idea being that all of these persons that we are putting through training, it forms part of our succession planning. The question was also asked how much funding we've expended. It's in the region of about 500,000 okay, that we've expended on training. That is collective, including the community portable training that we have done. Then the Honourable Member asked the question in terms of who will be absorbing the training. Well, apart from what I alluded to earlier, in regards to Aleko and the JV bursars, etc., the community members, and especially more specifically those that the traffic department are being training, we are training them to ensure their employability, because unemployment is rife within that area, and we are training them to ensure that they could possibly be employed within other mining groups, taking into account what is happening in Fort Reserve, what is happening at Katu, where those mining operations are expanding, and we are hoping that they can be absorbed there. Obviously, also in terms of, as our chairperson indicated earlier, we are in a growth process, and when the exploration process is commenced in earnest, then we will have a pool of skilled local persons, because the emphasis would also then be to as far as possible employ the local population. Unemployment is very, very rife in the rest of the South. Thank you.
Just continuing, in terms of the litigation, the reason we haven't made an announcement is that our legal advice counsel have told us that all these cases that are pending, we don't have to account for, because we don't have to make allowances for, because we have a high probability of success. In addition to that, one of the cases in Abera is now close to 7 years. All attempts to make contact with them, in fact, having looked at the company records, the company is no longer, hasn't been fined by itself its own annual financial statements. We've also got case law on that where events that have taken more than 7 or 10 or 12 years have been thrown out of the court. So we're sitting and doing nothing. We're prepared. We've got all of the facts. There is obviously the risk that it's so long ago that the people may have forgotten. We've taken written statements, and we've also now instructed the attorneys to ask people questions and record what they say. So in event it does go to trial, they can refresh their memories themselves. So we've dealt with it, but we're comfortable.
In terms of the internal control concern, I think the reason why we would state that internal control of almost 100% is because one can never mitigate internal control to 100% due to the human intervention, and obviously one tries to mitigate your risk by implementing the most effective internal controls where we can. That's why we added the fact that we have internal controls in place, that they do risk assessments, they do report on our internal controls, we do have the hotline, we do have an independent audit and risk committee that deals with the risk of the company. So in terms of the necessary assurance of internal controls, we're happy that we're doing everything we can in terms of good practices as well to mitigate the risk of internal controls not being effective enough.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of the females in mining, we concede that the EE statistics that is contained in the report confirms that we have few females in mining positions, and that is correct. However, we are addressing that as recently we've employed additional females, and part of that traffic. Pardon? No. I can confirm is the rehab controller, which is in our view a critical post, and also a company secretary that we've employed. We're looking at training these females to the female founder to drive the heavy earth moving equipment. And believe you me, they've done it in the past and they've done a great job. So we are addressing that. Thank you.
We have seen that in Moha.
Just to add, the CFO at the mine is also a woman. And I think one of the things that the reality is that unless you get women from the community living in the area, for somebody to move from, if you've been to Alexander Bay, it's a challenging environment. But we've managed to recruit at an executive level the CFO, and we continue to do that. We're doing that on a proactive basis.
I can confirm that all of these people are like. Yeah.
In terms of the CEO salaries being off, a contract came to after 6 months, and that's the result there of the fact that she only earned half of the salary that financially and therefore the decline. In terms of the drop in character and CDAs, obviously it's, part of it is due to the global phenomenon of the variables and embedded patterns. Remember, when we talk about CDAs, we have the orange river coming down into the sea. If the sea is rough, you can't go in. If the orange river comes down, there's no visibility in terms of that, and all these elements resulted in the fact that CDAs decreased dramatically. In terms of carrots, since the court has started in, with regard to the land mine settlement back in the early 2000s, land mining has effectively stopped due to the fact that the land claim had to take its course, and the benefit there was with regard to the community. So Alex had to focus on marine mining, and we came to a stage 2 years ago where marine mining was up to 75 to 80% of the total production of diamonds, whereas before land claiming, land mining was stopped, the land mining part was actually the material part of the mining concessions. So hopefully in future, we are in future, and we are busy with exploration activities on the land mining concessions instead of the PSJV. So once the exploration activities have been successful, land mining will pick up, and we'll get to a situation where land mining is again the material part of production of diamonds going forward.
So just linked to that, there's been no senior management team at the PSJV. Today we have an executive there, four of the people, Mervyn Carson, who is the CEO de facto of the PSJV, he's from the community, he's the son of the soil. The new Dion Carson, who's also the geologist, is also from the community. They have a Texas plan going forward. They have a plan, but because one of the things that the PSJV did was stop mining, and it's only used contractors. Now we have a plan for the PSJV itself to get into mining. So the idea is going forward is very positive. We have a very dynamic team. Only 10% of the land has been mined. They've just done an analysis to look at the amount of potential reserves left. You could sustainably mine this at a very, very profitable level over 10 to 15 years. So I think all of the elements are there. Just in terms of the support, both from National Treasury and public enterprises, seek some help from the colleagues from the department. But in terms of the minister's directive to us, one of the things he said was we should manage the PSJV better. It is the only operating asset that we have, and so it becomes imperative for us to do that. And so that is what we are doing. We're overseeing these plans. We're overseeing the implementation of these plans to increase production. He's asked us to appoint a CEO within 3 months. I think we may miss the deadline by about 4 days, but we've gone through a rigorous process in terms of the guidelines for appointing a CEO. We're in the final stages of that. And God willing, we'll make a recommendation over the next few days.
Thank you, Chair. I want to concur with the Chair that
you know, the survival of the region is intricately linked to prosperity of the PSGV. And having been there in over the last 2 days, I'm quite confident that the team that is now in place running the PSGV is really are well equipped to turn around the situation in that particular area. On the role of DPE, our role is to ensure that we have the right team in Alexco, and we believe that we now have the right team in terms of the board and the responsibility, as the chair has indicated, is for them to ensure there's a CEO in place at Alexco, and that Alexco team that is there is also competent and capable of providing leadership to the PSGV to ensure that the plans that are formulated are implemented. Yeah.
We have the question on MTF and just the issue around security, if we can address that very quickly.
This one is a bad with regards to the significant funding required. What we said by the end of 2012 is we have 70 million in funds available. We need to address our abilities and obviously the operating losses with the fact that we won't be receiving material profits from our PSJV. So in terms of that, there was the MTF application done with regards to liabilities to clean up basically all the liabilities that came from the deal settlement. So the reason why we just said that is that hopefully we'll receive the MTF allocation before the end of the financial year. That will address the shortcomings and the liabilities that we needed to address, and that will be then the significant funding for Alex Gore to exist going into the future.
Jay, just on security, I think the first thing just to say that in this industry, an industry norm is between 10 and 15% theft, and that's from all of globally. So the bureau today will give you the same number, that 10 to 15% theft is not unnatural. What we're trying to do at the mine, as we said, there's been a period of stagnation, is to introduce best practice, to bring in different service providers. Security at the physical level is one, and then we have monitoring through electronic, and then who's watching them? So we're introducing a new system. What we must also remember is we have 80 kilometers of coastline to manage, which by itself is very, very difficult. But I think that, with the new team that we have there, they're implementing mechanisms to try and bring our 15% down. Thank you.
No. We must really veer away from that dangerous paradigm of accepting that 50% is the norm of theft. Because the DPS accepts you pay the benchmark. Because once you do that, you are, it's not like Peter would say, look, there are 100% that are taking the information. But you know what? It's not that 50% will pass. In other words, the air standing, you tell all the students, the norm is, only 50% of you go through. The 50% you make it, doesn't matter how hard you work, 28. So, you know, here's the moment, you can think out, it's a very generous paradigm. You must never do that.
Honourable Tanka, I think you are certainly that you are improving on your security.
On the point made, one aspect that the entity said, we are doing our best, and not say no.
Yeah.
It's no, I'm successful, but it is true, there must be a certain
Honourable Mare.
Yes. I don't want to leave the key outside of this. There is this aspect that 80 kilometers is a big thing from the operations. And therefore, inter-ministerial intervention is needed. I think we need to take note, those are minerals of the people. They belong to the people of the world. They are plundered by thieves who know that they cannot cost. And therefore, it's a serious statement for us to hear. Wouldn't you take steps insofar as you and mineral resources can come together, brought in whether it's the water hawk,
the coastal, the green cobbler or something. I don't know. Yeah, green scorpions. Eh? I mean, the concoction of that in that country really is needed, because we hear that these diamonds are being stolen. And as long as this is 80 kilometers away from Aleppo, then it's fine. So then, we're borrowing from the resources of the people. Please, can you do something?
Thank you, Honorable Contra. Honorable Maria. This is the last input.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Councillor, I forgot that the water being called up there. But this question I want to ask, one of the questions I want to, might have been asked because I've been late here this morning. I just want to have the potential of the upgrade of the infrastructure in Alexander Bay. But there was a corporate social investment program, and I've been there 18 months ago. So as far as the upgrade of electricity, it was substandard, and I've seen how program. What is the percentage of the growth and the electricity and the upgrading of all the infrastructure in the Zambian by as such? Where are we now with that program? Thank you, sir.
This is the completion. We're looking by the end of this week. So I'm going to give you a percentage, probably 99%.
Maybe 99.9.
Although, all the four phases have been completed, and basically in the next week or two, the whole upgrade should be completed from that level.
Thank you. I think that's the end of it. What I want to please you is you're spending 500,000 then. Let me say that's a federal education. And if we really want to make Alexander Bay even attractive to those that we can't attract more, we will really need to spend more, don't you think? And I think you can spend. Maybe that's something I can need to look into. The committee hopes to visit that area early in the year. I think that's one question I forgot to answer. And even the debate on employees let's look at the broader community out there and see how we can empower our people there, to be proud residents of that area. So that we will change the situation in our economy. On another September, I asked the question, how do we get there? Because we've been trying to
two ways you can go.
The shortest route is to fly to Namibia and then drive.
There are two ways. One is you can drive to Alexander Bay from Cape Town. It's 850 kilometers. I've done that twice. That is one. The road is fantastic, and it took about 7.5 hours. So that's the one way. The other way is to fly to Upington.
To Upington.
Yes, and then drive, but that's still quite a considerable drive. I think it's about 6 hours, 600 kilometers. I think the best way to go in terms of getting as close to the mine as possible would be to fly to Windhoek and take a flight from Windhoek to Oranjemund, and then you're 12 kilometers from Alexander Bay. And once you get there, one is to say the committee is welcome. We're very fortunate we had the team, the department and the deputy minister visit us. They take a tour of the mine and some of the facilities that are being handed over, etc. So you're welcome to come. But those are the three options.
Anyway, this brings us to the end of this part of our meeting. I'd like to thank the officials from the company, the PPC, and the team, and Chairperson, as well.
The challenges, but also the opportunity for the mission that the Red Cross offered us to improve the life of our people in the land. So thank you very much. As it was said, the committee will try and do its own research, but the DCG also said that they were also on their side trying to look at how we can, at some point in the future, say that now we've got it right. Thank you so much. And please drive or fly. You can't swim. What do you call it? Not swim. You don't have balls. That's a good one. But anyway, please stay for now. Thank you so much. I'll go to ask Honorable Hololo and September to say and start. But maybe once you are thank you. This time, if you can just tell me something about the program. That is our Honorable Maria, come this. The overtime, the fourth.
On the agenda is the adoption of minutes.
No.
Honourable members, can I take you through this?
Please, Mr. Rundfunk, because the meeting is still on.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes.